Lord, open our eyes, we pray, that we would behold wonderful things from your word, treasures and spoils, so that we may go away refreshed by you, encouraged and challenged, enabled better to live for you and to trust our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Claire and I went to two parties recently, invited to these parties, and the first one said on the invitation, smart casual. So, of course, I thought, what shall I wear? And I wore something a bit like this, apart from that didn't have the dog collar. So, trousers and a shirt open at the neck. I'm sure Claire wore a lovely dress. We turned up and discovered all the other men were in jacket and tie. So I felt awkward. The second party we went to, now I figured it would be a similar crowd. This time it didn't say smart casual, but it would be a similar kind of crowd, I thought. But it was a different, slightly kind of occasion. It was a birthday party rather than a dinner thing. So I thought, I'll go for the jacket, but I'll leave the tie. Spot on this time. Spot on. I blended in beautifully. Most of us don't like to stand out. We don't like to be different. But in fact, the call of Christ is for us to be different, to stand out from the crowd among us in the world. Why is that? Well, because the world around us, society, culture, if you like, rejects God and lives in a way that suppresses the truth about God. Now, if we're trusting in Jesus, then we've been saved. We've got a new self. Jesus is our saviour. That makes us different from those around us. Not everyone, because others do have Jesus as their saviour. But it makes us different. And also, if we've turned to Christ, then we've repented of our sins. And we are repenting. We're living in that. We're living with Jesus as Lord. And with him governing our lives and us wanting to submit to that. And so those two ways, those two things make us different from the world around us. Distinctive. So it's the call of Christ to be different. But it's difficult to do that. And while I say that, I've just remembered that in order to help you, we'll pause for a moment. And you can have the sheets that I've printed out.
I'll do pass them on. Yeah.
So, the call of Christ is to be different. But this is something that's difficult. Fortunately, we have help. So we have the help of God, the Holy Spirit. Even though it's difficult to live for Jesus in this world, we've got God's help, the Holy Spirit. And we have that help coming to us through the Bible, as God changes our thinking, as he speaks to us by his Spirit, as we read and learn together in sermons and in home groups. And also God, the Holy Spirit, prompts our consciences, educated by his word, so that as we go about life, we think differently about things with his help. So it helps us in the difficulty. But meanwhile, there is always the pull of the world around us, pulling us, saying, come our way, not God's way. So it's difficult to stand out and be different. What happens if we don't be different? Well, as individuals, it would mean that our witness to Christ would be compromised, wouldn't it? Because if people look at us and they see no difference, they would think, well, Jesus makes no difference, can't see the point. What's the point in being a Christian? They're just like me, there's no difference. If we don't, as a church, if most of the people in a church don't stand out in their lives and be different, then not only is the individual witness to Christ compromised, but it kind of becomes how we do it as a church. And this is how people in that church live. And the whole witness of the church is compromised. And that's what's happened here in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus' verdict on them is that they are a dead church, not an alive church. We're going to see how it's possible for them and for us, if we're in that situation, to change with God's help. So we've got, again, one of these classic letters to the churches in Revelation. There are seven of these. We're in number five. Number five. And this one's quite short. In the passage, we get verse 1. A saviour who can help. And that's just the first part of verse 1. Then we get the next little chunk, a church that needs to wake up as Jesus describes their condition and what's going on. And at the end, we get a wonderful destiny for the faithful, for those who listen and respond to what Jesus has to say to this church, a great future for them. So first of all then, verse 1, a saviour who can help, or receive the help of the Holy Spirit. How do we get to be different? How do we change to be more different? With the help of the Holy Spirit. There's a battle going on, isn't there, in our lives and in Sardis against compromise, just being the same as the world around. And help is at hand in that battle. It's divine help. It's powerful help. We need this help. We need to receive it and respond to it. Have a look at verse 1. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. This is Jesus speaking. And in Revelation language, seven is a perfect number. And so when he talks of the seven spirits of God, he's talking of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is holding the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is there as he's speaking to this church with all their problems. And even before he begins to tell them what's wrong, it's a reminder that God the Holy Spirit is there, able to help. And the stars, the seven stars, these are the angels of the seven churches that are mentioned earlier in Revelation at the end of chapter 1. And so it's an indication that Jesus is in control of the churches. He's in control. He's able to help with the Holy Spirit. Sardis is a mess, but all is not lost. They need to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that your house is on fire and you ring 999. What turns up? Well, a police car would be fairly useless, wouldn't it? Your house is still burning down while the policeman stands there in his yellow jacket. You don't want a police car. You want a fire engine. Yeah? And a fire engine turns up and you think, yes, because the fire engine is what you need. It's fully equipped with everything you need to put out the fire and to rescue anyone who's stuck in the house. That's what you need. Well, who has turned up for Sardis? It's the fire engine, isn't it? It's Jesus with the Holy Spirit, able to help. Help is at hand. Maybe we are aware of compromise in our lives. Maybe as we start to think about the situation of Sardis, where they're compromised, and we think about our own lives, we see that there's ways in which we just blended in with the world around us and haven't been different because of Jesus. We haven't gone his way, gone their way. Well, help is at hand. Jesus and the Holy Spirit want to help us. And so we need to ask for help. If we're aware of it, we need to turn to them in prayer and ask that they would help us to change. Receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Second thing to do is to repent and walk with Jesus. To repent and walk with Jesus. We've got here a church that needs to wake up. They need to wake up to come back to the gospel of Jesus that saved them. To keep Jesus as Lord over how they think and act and live. They need to repent and walk with Jesus. Verse 1 continues. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. People have heard of Holy Trinity Sardis. And they turn up at the church. And what do they find? Well, it doesn't seem to be much different to the pagan temple next door in the way they're going about their lives. They have a reputation of being alive, but they're dead. Well, Jesus gives them five things to do. Five things to do. As I read through verses 2 and 3, see if you can spot five commands. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast. And repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I'll come to you. Did you spot them? Five things. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. Remember. Hold it fast. Repent. Five things for them to do. Well, what is wrong with them? Why do they need to do these things? Have a look at the end of verse 2. I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Apparently there's a big temple in Sardis, an unfinished temple. And maybe Jesus is reflecting on that as he picks his words. I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. That kind of gives us half the story. If you look on to verse 4, you'll see we get more information. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. Not soiled their clothes. They haven't got their clothes dirty. And that's a picture, isn't it, for soiling your clothes, getting your clothes dirty. It's a picture for not going God's way, doing things that make you unclean. Not being Christ-like, being world-like instead. So this is what's wrong. They've been living the world's ways. They've been getting dirty in God's eyes. What they've got to do is to wake up, strengthen, remember, hold it fast, and repent. They've got to go back to the gospel, haven't they? What they had at first. Jesus is Lord. What have they been saved from? They've been saved from those things in their lives, like the things Jesus describes in Mark 7. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside, says Jesus, and make someone unclean. This is what they've been saved from. They've got to repent and let Jesus be Lord. Let him change those things in his life. Imagine that we turned off all the lights in this room and it was dark outside and it's suddenly dark. And yet we had two spotlights, one making a patch of light there and one making a patch of light over there. And it's as if they're all standing in the one patch of light, which is the world's way. And they've got to step out of that and come and stand in the other patch of light again, where they began, the patch of light that is Jesus' way, letting him be Lord. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. Remember the gospel that you've received and heard. Remember Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Hold it fast and repent. Now what if they don't? Well, end of verse 3. If you do not wake up, says Jesus, I'll come like a thief. And they won't know, will they? Because they're asleep. You will not know at what time I'll come to you. It's a picture of judgment on that church. It sounds a bit like Jesus' teaching in the Gospels about his return. But it seems to be much more specific here, that he'll come to judge that church in Sardis. So they need to repent and walk with Jesus. Now this gives us a recipe for how to live for him. How to be a church that is awake. Well, as individuals, we can think of this and think of it as a wake-up call for us. We need to fight sin. We need to make sure there's no compromise in our lives. We need to walk with Jesus as individuals. But he's addressing a church. So what about as a church? Is our witness affected by our worldliness? How do we get over that? One way to make sure that doesn't happen is to be people who encourage each other. So as we meet and we hear God's word and we talk to each other and meet, to actually encourage each other to live for Christ, to think about what we're hearing, about what we say about our lives, and where there's something that we can encourage someone in and say, that's great, that's really encouraging, that's a good way to live for Christ, or we can encourage them that way. Where we're hearing something that sounds like someone isn't walking Jesus' way and maybe they're straying off, maybe we could gently say to them, well, maybe you could go this way instead and do something different. So to look at each other as people we love and want to help to walk in the Lord together, to encourage each other. That's why it's vital that we have home groups that are functioning well, because the home group is a great place to do that as we read God's word and pray together. So here's a recipe for us as individuals and as a local church. We need to repent and walk with Jesus. But also it's a recipe for us as a denomination. The Church of England, the denomination, is very like Sardis, isn't it? Compromised. It's gone the way of the world in all sorts of ways. Instead of saying, this is what Jesus teaches, this is what we see in the Bible, and standing firm, church seems to say, oh, this is what the world does, let's go the world's way. Church needs to wake up, strengthen what remains. We need to repent and walk with Jesus. So, receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Repent and walk with Jesus. And then conform to your eternal future. Or be more like what you're going to be with Jesus one day. There is a wonderful destiny for the faithful. Verse 5. The one who is victorious will, like the few that are currently faithful in Sardis, will, like them, be dressed in white. I'll never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's three things here going on, three promises of great things in the future. And again, as always in Revelation and the letters, these look forward to towards the end of the book and other things that happen if we read on in Revelation. So white clothes, the book of life, and Jesus acknowledging that person's name. White clothes, it's a symbol of purity before him. And if you look in chapter 7, the people who wear white clothes are those who've come out of the tribulation. They've stood firm with Jesus and they've been a witness to those around them of Jesus. It's what he wants of those in Sardis. The book of life, this is mentioned later on in Revelation. It's the book that your name is written in when you turn to Jesus because of the gospel. He writes your name in this book, and it's a name of it's the book of those who've been saved. And those who repent and walk with Jesus are in that book of life, and their names won't be blotted out. And then Jesus acknowledging their name, end of verse 5. This is a direct link to a passage in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 10, verse 32. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown him. I will disown before my Father in heaven." Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's what he's saying here, isn't it? To the faithful in Sardis. So if they are prepared to live in Sardis and stand out from the crowd because of Jesus and let the crowd know that it's because of Jesus that they're different, and Jesus is prepared to name them in heaven because they're witness and they're continuing with him. There's a wonderful destiny for the faithful. They may be rejected now. They may be the out crowd now. But in eternity, they will be received, not rejected. They'll be in the kingdom, not out of it. And which is better? This is Christ's call, isn't it? Conform to our eternal future. Conform to him, not to the world around us. We need to be different to the world around us. We need to conform to him. So, we hear people saying, "Don't be so old-fashioned. You're so out of date. Oh, you're so intolerant. Come with us. Blend in. Don't be different." But Jesus calls the church to be different. He calls us to be different in our own lives, each one of us, but together to encourage each other in that and to be modelling it to each other, urging each other on. Jesus calls the church to be different. So will we receive the help of the Holy Spirit, repent and walk with Jesus, and conform to our eternal future? Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus stands there before the church with the Holy Spirit. The answer to the problem is already there as he stands and confronts them. And we pray for your help that we would walk with the Spirit in our own lives. But not just alone, but together we'd be encouraging and urging each other on in that. So that as a church, we might be those who are different for you together. Help us to walk with you, to live lives of repentance and faith. To have our eyes and our desires fixed on our eternal future. And to live like that now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.